Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
All right, everybody. It is the fifth edition of It Was a Thing on TV Presents before the show.
Woo! And
woo! Yes, Chico's here for segment one of Before the Show V. Yeah. I went with Before the Show IV last time, so I figured I'd do Before the Show V. Because it's five in Roman numerals that represents. It's not one before five, it's just plain old five.
It's just five. You were asking me to do this, like, what, 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, because I need to talk about something. The reason I really wanted to do it before the show is I wanted to talk about an event that happened last week at the time of recording this in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, and that was WrestleMania XL, or 40, because the X is 10 before 50 in Roman numerals.
Yes. It's only appropriate that we talk about Roman numerals when we talk about Roman reigns, because Roman numerals reigned.
That makes no sense.
I know.
You know what my favorite thing I posted about Roman Reigns was from yesterday? Like a Simpsons S posting group. When Apu's talking about Homer, it's like a parody of that about Roman Reigns. It's like, he barely worked at all and made like no title defenses, but there goes the best damn Universal Champion I ever saw.
Yeah.
So, what'd you enjoy from WrestleMania 40, Chico?
Okay, so here's the thing. I've watched the last three Manias. I do not ever remember a Mania ending on a cliffhanger.
Because it's two nights.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the thing you got to remember. Since the COVID WrestleMania in 2020, WrestleMania 36, they've now split the card into two nights because WWE smartly figured, you know what, we don't want to bore the crowd for 7 hours. How about we split the card for two nights on a Saturday and Sunday so that way we can get some more money?
Yeah. If you're watching on Peacock, you've already paid for it. It's basically a house show. Two house shows for the price of one.
Hold on a second. But if you have just plain old regular-ass Peacock, you get the ads. Look, you could have paid for this and not seen any of the ads. But no, you had to be a cheapskate and not pay for WrestleMania. I mean, it's not like back in the day where if you didn't pay for WrestleMania on cable, you'd get the little scramble vision.
Those were dark days, my friend.
Oh, yeah. You have no idea how torturous it was to watch WrestleMania 15 in scramble vision back in the day.
Yeah, and this was like at the dawn of the Attitude Era, where you're just trying to get in on the ground floor, and you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Yeah, I'm having to listen to JR like I'm freaking listening to old-timey radio. But whatever. Okay, that's not the point. Yeah, WrestleMania Night 1 ended, because the main event of Night 1 was Roman Reigns and The Rock against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And the whole stipulation of the first night's main event was, if The Rock and Roman Reigns won, the title match, the epic rematch from WrestleMania 39 between Roman and Cody, would be Bloodline Rules. Now, what are Bloodline Rules, you ask, Chico?
What are Bloodline Rules, Greg?
It's a no disqualification, no countout match.
Basically, so like, last guy standing.
No, last guy standing is like you have to beat a 10 count. But I'm like, why don't just say it's a no disqualification, no countout match? What? Bloodline Rules, what the f*** does that mean?
It's trying to make something basic sound badass. It's WrestleMania. This isn't like the Raw before WrestleMania. This isn't the NXT before Mania. This is the real thing.
I gotta say, I did watch the NXT show before WrestleMania. That was pretty good, the Stand and Deliver. I'm very much into this Trick Williams guy.
You know what? He's all right. He's all right. I think we'll keep him.
Hopefully he'll be on the main roster within the next year.
Oh, definitely. Especially, what, with The Rock going off and, I don't know, running for running for president of NBC or president of the U.S. or president of his own mind. I don't know what Dwayne Johnson's going to do in the next year. All I know is he's not going to be doing all of this.
Yeah, he's got better things to do. He's got to shoot, like, the Moana, like, live-action movie until he, But, well, I haven't even talked about Night 2 yet, so I'll just wait for that. But, okay, Night 2 was the match between Roman and Cody for the title. And I got to say, Chico, last year, I don't know if you know this, but I was pissed last year over the main event of WrestleMania. I was like,
really?
What?
I couldn't tell. I did listen to the Thursday episode of It Was a Thing, where we were talking about the baseball bunch. And with apologies to John Bloom, obviously.
Yeah, if you pay attention to the continuity, last year when we did the Pushing Daisies episode, I put a John Bloom commentary about Halloween 3.
In full Joe Bob Briggs, mind you.
In full Joe Bob Briggs, to express how pissed I was over the main event of WrestleMania 39. Because I'm like, oh, dear God, I got to suffer through another year of this Roman Reigns with the championship bullshit. I see, oh, the bloodline interfere in every match while Roman Reigns hold the title. Okay, we get to the main event in the first 15 minutes. I'm like, it's supposed to be bloodline rules. Where the hell's the bloodline? You'd think they'd come out for this match, just hit Cody with like steel chairs and like, boop, boop, boop. There, match is over in 5 minutes. No, they have to take their sweet ass time getting into the match. So, first off, we get Jimmy Uso interfering. And then his brother Jay fights him for Cody. So they have like a fight on the rampart and such. And then I think Jay spears Jimmy off the ramp onto like a table or something. They had a better fight than their match on night one. That match in night one between the two, that was probably like one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life.
I will say, though, it is far better than the tag match on night one. Not exactly glowing praise, but there you are.
Look, that's his opinion, not mine. I'm going to go so far, okay? I think, you remember when Jenna Maraska had a match in TNA?
I do remember when Jenna Maraska had a match in TNA.
That was better than the Jimmy J match. Yeah, I said it.
-5 stars!
And then, you know, when the stock price for folding tables went through the roof overnight, if you know, you know, in comes Solo Sikoa.
Oh, yeah, because remember, he's the reason why Cody lost last year. So it's like, oh, I've got to beat Cody up. It's going to be the same result.
Oh, no.
And then it's Child, like,
my brother in Christ, no.
No, and then he's like, oh, well, I'll hit him again. Surely this will be the same result now. No.
And you know who we have to thank for that?
Who?
A gust of wind coming out of nowhere.
Oh, that's right, because he was fighting nobody. Nobody came out to... I guess it was like the wind beat up Solo Sikoa. It was so weird. People were going nuts, and it was like this was like an incredible achievement. The wind beat him up. But then The Rock came out, and then he beat up the wind. And I was like, well, I guess that's kind of impressive. He beat up wind. But then right about the time he's about to beat the crap out of Cody, you hear the music of The Shield. And I'm thinking, what? Because remember, Roman Reigns was originally in The Shield when he debuted with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, who's now in AEW as John Max. So I'm like, why is The Shield music playing? And then it's Seth Rollins coming out, off screen, mind you, we don't see him come into the ring, mind you. And they beat the shit out of him. And by they, I think I mean Rock and Roman. They beat the shit out of him. And then the arena goes pitch black.
Hold on. I believe I have the appropriate sounder on my board here.
Oh, good. What is the appropriate sounder on the board? You have it ready. Yeah. And then The Rock does not notice that right behind him is The Undertaker. And he's not looking like The Undertaker. He's just looking like...
He's looking like a Dragon Ball reject is what he's looking like.
And then he just choke slams The Rock. And there moves The Rock onto the ground. And then the lights go off and he's disappeared. And I guess so is The Rock. So I guess maybe The Undertaker took him to like a dimensional portal or something.
Maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. But then we get back and we see both Cody and Seth on the ground. And Roman has a chair. And Roman's going to hit Cody. But then he looks at Seth Rollins. And he sees him in the Shield black jacket. And his mind goes back, like PTSD style, to the time 10 years ago when Seth Rollins turned on the Shield and hit Roman in the back of her chair. And he's like, F you. And then he hits Seth with the chair. And then Cody gets back, hits Roman with three crossroads. One, two, three. Cody Rhodes is now the new undisputed WWE Universal Champion.
This was the perfect example of too much of a good thing.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, this was like an overbooked, overproduced, but holy cow. There were twists and turns all over the place. I wasn't expecting. I'm not going to disapprove of them. Just saying. So.
But it's like you expected this match was going to be overbooked to death. Because it's Bloodline Rules.
It's Bloodline Rules, and it's the main event on night two.
I was kind of expecting that it was going to be like everybody from the backstage area was going to like fight or something during the main event. I thought it was going to be like Avengers Endgame Final Battle style, where you had like a zillion run-ins.
That would have been awesome.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so Cody's now the champ, and I guess they're teasing that somewhere along the line, Cody and The Rock are going to have, like, a match.
Like, you may have the belt for now, but I'm coming for it.
And The Rock gave Cody, like, something. I don't know what it was. I'm going to guess, this is my theory, maybe it was a USB flash drive of all the pictures Baby Doll had of Dustin. Finally paying off that 36, 37-year-old bit.
I need an adult. But
yeah, there was some other good stuff at WrestleMania, too. We had Sami Zayn. He won the Intercontinental title. He beat another long reign. He beat Gunther, ending his... And you're not going to believe how many days he held the Intercontinental title, Chico. You know how many days he held it?
Two.
No, because he's held it for like over a year and a half.
All right. 600. No, that's not. That's more than a year and a half. 475.
No. You are on the right track. 666 days.
That's more than a year and a half.
Whatever.
Actually, yeah, that is more. That's like a year and two thirds.
Okay, but 666 days. They couldn't. Like, wait a day and have... Well, no, because you don't want to end two long title reigns on the same night. So I guess that's true. You couldn't do that. But 666 days.
It's only fitting.
I guess. I love also that for two straight years, Rey Mysterio at WrestleMania has beat his son, and he's had, like, assistance from something, because last year it was the piece of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and this year It was Jason Kelsey and Lane Johnson in Lucha Mask.
Okay, so I actually have a message about that. I was talking with a Gordon Pepper, Jason blogger, talking about Mania. And one of the things that came up was something that Kimberly Callback, by the way, congratulations on the baby. She brought up a Sports Illustrated Instagram post via TMZ Sports. WWE interested in bringing Jason Kelsey back after WrestleMania appearance.
Well, yeah, because SummerSlam is in Cleveland, and we all know he's from Ohio, so
it's like something about Cleveland and native sons, I mean.
Oh, yeah, because The Miz and R-Truth won the Raw Tag Team titles in that six-way ladder match, which I found out. Now, a lot of people probably were confused by this, but I know this because I listened to my co-host at Place to Be Nation, Scott Griscolo's Mania preview, and he was told that this match would be for both sets of titles, but if you grabbed one set of belts, the match wouldn't end. You'd have to grab the other set of belts to win. So this was their way of, like, ununifying tag stuff, because they've been, like, unified for, like, the last 2-3 years or whatever. So this was, like, their excuse to write off of them ununifying the belts. So a lot of people were confused when the SmackDown tag titles were pulled. Like, isn't that the end of the match? No. They said the match does not end until both sets of belts are removed. So the match continued, and R-Truth grabbed the tag team championship for Raw for him and The Miz. But let's be quite honest, though. I think R-Truth is very confused about the rules of the match, because he tried to make a pin during the match.
He was in business for himself, Greg.
Oh, that's true, to quote Dave Meltzer. He probably thought, I'm going to give an attitude adjustment like I'm John Cena. I'm going to pin the match. And, oh, he had to be informed by Miz. No, that's how the match works, you dumbass. Oh, and we also had the U.S. title match between Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, and Randy Orton.
Which can we talk about that guy? It's like, you lock one of the Paul brothers in with the likes of Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. Who wins?
Everybody.
America. America wins. Jake Paul's going to get his ass kicked by Mike Tyson, just saying.
God, that's going to be the most hilarious.
It's like, congratulations. You got beaten up by somebody who's old enough to be your daddy.
No, I think Mike is old enough to be his granddad.
Yeah. So, you want to talk about shooting up to the moon? Kid Dynamite's going to pay for the trip, if you know what I'm saying. I don't like the Paul brothers.
Oh, who doesn't? Does anybody like the Paul brothers that's like over the age of like 15? No.
But yeah, Logan Paul against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Okay, so this was just perfection on a plate. I mean, yes, the main event was the main event, and you know, it was awesome. But this one had me actively cheering for people.
Yeah, even though Logan Paul won, I think everybody won, because we got to see him beat up a little bit. And we got to see, like, Randy Orton, like, give an RKO to that streamer guy in the prime.
I show speed. He's another motherfucker.
I have no idea who this guy is.
I only know who these people are because I live and die on commentary YouTube. And commentary YouTube is basically having a shit fit with all of these streamers. I mean, you look up degenerate streamers on YouTube, boom, you're going to get inundated with content.
Now I got a question. Does iShowSpeed have a crypto scandal too, like Logan Paul?
Let me look.
Oh, this is going to be great. We're going to have some live research.
Okay, from Sportskeeda, iShow Speed Crypto Scam Controversy Explained.
This is going to be great.
Darren Speed, a.k.a. iShow Speed, has been the talk of the streaming world, yada, yada, yada. Popular YouTuber and self-proclaimed scam detective CoffeeZilla even confronted the showrunners of his project, that is, the crypto pump and dump called Paradox Metaverse. He confronted the showrunners on live stream and later released a video expressing his concerns. iShow Speed did apologize for the stream after the fact, vehemently claiming that he had no ill intentions and that he is not a scammer. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have to go on stream and say you are not a scammer, you better check yourself, because you know what you are, my brother in Christ?
A scammer.
You are a scammer!
So, what else happened at WrestleMania? Oh yeah, Bayley won the women's title at WrestleMania. That was great.
Love that.
I was very happy for Bayley.
LA Knight defeated AJ Styles.
Oh yeah, that's so great. LA Knight against AJ Styles. It's like, man, I remember when LA Knight was Eli Drake in TNA, and I remember when AJ Styles was in TNA forever, and now they're at WrestleMania.
The Pride defeats Final Testament.
Oh, yeah. Was that the match Bubba Ray Dudley reffed, I think?
Yes. Yes, it was.
That was kind of a treat. I got to be honest, though. Bubba Ray Dudley, he did not do a very good job reffing that match.
No, he didn't. What's the one rule of being a ref? Don't get involved in the fight.
No, don't get involved in the match. Like, he was giving them tables. I'm like, no, this is not the referee.
This is not good.
But at least he got to wear the Bubba Ray glasses again. I was very happy with that. Well, I think that's all we got to say about WrestleMania. So this will perfectly transition us to, oh yeah, Damian Priest cashed in Money in the Bank after McIntyre beat Seth in the opening match of Night 2. Thanks to CM Punk, which transitions to what we're going to talk about next.
Oh no. Ladies and gentlemen, that sound you hear is AEW hitting the iceberg.
So let me just explain this. CM Punk last year got fired from AEW because he had a little backstage incident with Luke Perry's son, Jack. And so AEW, mind you, 7 to 8 months after this happened, decides, you know what? We have the Young Bucks being like heels because they're the EVPs of AEW in real life. So let's have heat for their upcoming match at this pay-per-view with FTR by showing the backstage footage from All In between CM Punk and Jack Perry. And mind you, when they played this footage, there's no audio. You can't hear what's going on. It's like a security camera footage from Wembley Stadium. So it's like you have no idea what the hell they're saying. All you can see is like CM Punk putting like Jack Perry in a, like, what would you say? He like, puts his arm around his head.
He puts his arm around his head, gives him a once around the block sort of treatment, and I don't even know what's going on here.
And this is what Tony Khan claimed he feared for his life for. What? But the best part is, did you see, like, Tony Schiavone having this look on his face, like,
yeah, like, I can't believe this is happening. Again.
You know, I thought of the giant in Twin Peaks saying, it is happening again. And that's the comment I put in awful announcing about this. Because that was very WCW 2000. Like, what are we even doing here? Like, this isn't going to lead to a match. Like, this isn't going to draw money. Like, I...
Man, AEW, what is you doing?
Look, they had the freaking great pay-per-view last month. They had Sting's retirement, which was probably like the greatest thing ever. They had like great matches all over the place, but it's like they are so petty sometimes. Like, stop giving a shit about WWE. Like, worry about your own damn company. Like, focus on giving a good product and people will watch.
You know, I even managed to find CM Punk's reaction to the footage.
Oh, what was his reaction?
Which was basically, he went on Instagram. He shared the footage of George Bush on the aircraft carrier with the with that banner that says mission accomplished.
And I'm not even the biggest CM Punk fan in the world. I think he's kind of a jack-off, but you know what? Even he's like, what the hell are you doing?
You get the slow clap, CM Punk.
Nancy Pelosi slow clap.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, that's all we got to say about the wrestling. So, in the meantime, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Beep, beep, ding, dong, surprise, they're here.
I need a cake, what to do? The microwave cake from you know who. 7 minutes is all it takes.
Wow, when did you bake that cake? Good looking and moist.
Pillsbury,
like a cake should be. Yum, yum, dee.
Thank you, thank you.
Love it from the oven. Rick Smith is Street Hawk.
You know where to find me.
Wednesdays at 9 on USA.
You need three things to be a successful private eye.
You sound like a Saturday matinee.
A quick wit.
What kind of an idiot you take me for?
First rate.
A quick fright.
That's why they call me Hammer.
And a hard-boiled philosophy.
Putting a bow tie on a penguin doesn't make him Fred Astaire.
Mike Hammer has it all.
Aren't you lucky?
Stacy Keach.
I'm sure you remember me.
The new Mike Hammer.
Party's over, hey, come on,
watch it!
Saturdays and Sundays on USA.
Eloquently phrased, I'll make a note.
They may tear you limb from limb.
I'm gonna tear you limb from limb.
They may fight you to the end.
We're gonna fight you to the end.
They may even call you names.
You're dumb. You're stupid.
These guys know how to hit where it really hurts.
Yee-haw!
Believe me, folks, they do not all come like that.
Oh, but they do. And you love it.
WWF Primetime Wrestling Monday at 9 and All-American Wrestling tomorrow at noon, only on USA.
You're watching USA, Cable's entertainment network.
And we're back, so Mike's here for segment two. So, while we were in the break, what were we looking at?
We were looking at the first sort of leaked photos from Prime Video's upcoming reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Hosted by Mr. Taylor Swift himself, Travis Kelce.
Now, hold on. Wait. He's not Mr. Taylor Swift just yet. There's a thing, but they're not, you know, there's no ring on the finger. Just saying.
I got to
well,
say.
Not, am I wrong? No,
you're
but,
not wrong. I'm just yeah. laughing at you talking with your hands there.
What's the I Italian say, in me? Right there. Put the ring on the finger, Chico. Yeah.
I need an adult.
That will be the most anticipated prenup in history.
But yes, it looks kind of like the setup for Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, of course, with Jeff Foxworthy for like five seasons. And then some guy for one.
Yeah, that was so weird. Nobody hosted that reboot. I didn't see who hosted that reboot. The kids were talking to nobody.
That joke never gets old. I'm dying for some reason over here.
And then Colin Mockery hosted in Canada. Anyway.
Oh, that is true. Colin Mockery did host the Canadian version of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Probably the best hosting jobs, and it's probably Alan Thicke on Password A.
But yeah, it's a leaked photo from some random kid's Twitter account. I'll be dead and in hell before I call it by the 24th letter of the alphabet. And it looks like it should. There's a desk. There's another desk. Travis is in the middle. On the other side, it kind of looks like Jason Kelsey. Because, you know, shorter than Travis. Stockier. Epic beard. Clean haircut. Not as clean as Travis's, obviously. Because that's one of the things that apparently was big enough to warrant news this week. He got his hair cut. And he flew to Los Angeles to tape this show. So I am of the mindset that, A, this is a pilot that they're trying to sell to Prime Video, or B, it's happening.
And you said the person that posted this was a kid?
Well, comparatively. Remember, I'm in my mid-40s, so.
I was going to say, she's not a kid. Kid is under the age of 18. She definitely looks like she's at least 19.
Yeah, but according to freetvtix.com, Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, which is the name of the show, began filming last Thursday, and it was recorded earlier this week with one more day of shooting set for today as we record this.
So that definitely means it's not a pilot. Unless they're doing like 4 or 5. Probably not.
But according to Us Weekly, the deal was done long before Travis's profile was raised, and now he has to honor the contract. They'll shoot several test episodes, really fine-tune the show and Kelsey so this doesn't embarrass him. He's Travis Kelsey. He can do no wrong.
I'm sure this is going to be better than Catching Kelsey. No doubt.
Oh, never mind.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Catching Kelsey reference. Wow.
I got to mention this because during the break, I was scrolling through Discovery Life because I don't know if people know this, but during every taping, I check Discovery Life because I want to see if Sex Sent Me to the ER is on. Now, for those that don't know, I'm like obsessed with reruns of Sex Sent Me to the ER because it's so embarrassingly bad. But unfortunately, it's not airing right now on Discovery Life. But I checked ahead, and Saturday at 6, Discovery Life is airing a marathon of my second favorite show that's on the channel. And do you want to know, guys, what the second favorite show of mine from Discovery Life is?
Dr. Pimple Popper?
No, not that.
Oh. Shut up, Chico. No, I don't like that's that fine. Show.
Mike, say it.
Body Bizarre?
No!
My feet are killing me?
No! All right, fine, I'm going to say it.
The game show? Wait, are you talking about the game show that's on there? Is This Infected?
No, I'm talking about I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant.
Oh.
Well, congratulations. You're a big girl now, and now you're pregnant.
But I love this show because it's all these reenactments about these people didn't know they were pregnant. And I'm like, how did you not know 5 months you were pregnant? How would that happen? But I'm going to read you some descriptions of the episodes that are going to be airing this marathon tomorrow, starting at 6 p.m. on Discovery Life. Jenna is rushed to the hospital to find out she's in labor and at a hospital that hasn't delivered a baby in 15 years.
Wait, how does a hospital go 15 years without delivering a baby unless they have no delivery unit? But doesn't every hospital have a delivery unit? Well, Chico, you're an expert. Does your university have a department where they can give birth to babies?
Are you talking about a labor and delivery department, Mike?
Yeah, I'm talking about exactly that. I just don't know the technical terms.
Yeah, UNC has a labor and delivery department. Here's the thing, though. The hospital where I work at now, which was, you know, semi-independent, it was like part of like a two-hospital deal. up until a couple of years ago when it was bought out by Cape Fear. And now it's part of the Cape Fear family of like 8 or so hospitals. So they closed the L&D wing of my hospital down. So if somebody in Harnett County wants to give birth, they're going to have to go to Cape Fear. Or they're going to have to go to Johnston County. Or they're going to have to go up to Raleigh. Because remember, Dunn is a suburb of Raleigh.
Okay, so not every hospital has a natal unit, if you will. Okay.
There you go, a natal unit.
Or neonatal unit. Would that be even better, neonatal?
That's actually sort of akin to a nursery.
Okay, so a natal unit, got it.
Now there's this one episode called Spring Break Surprise. And this description, after returning home from spring break, a college freshman begins to suffer painful back cramps, but does not realize she's pregnant until she gives birth to a boy. So hold on, this woman went to spring break and I guess partied her ass off and didn't know she was pregnant. Boy, that's not gonna be like give this baby some problems later on in life. Wow. Baby on a boat. A woman experiences severe abdominal cramps while on a boat in the middle of the open water. Oh, false positive. After failing 2 pregnancy tests, a woman is shocked to learn the truth about her symptoms. A woman gets a surprise after having gastric bypass surgery.
I remember that.
Oh my god. Baby in the back seat. Melissa is rushed to the hospital. She gives birth to an unexpected baby in the back seat.
Oh dear.
Well, we've heard of that where people give birth in a car while they're being transported. So it's not necessarily nothing new.
No. Oh, so what is going on that we're looking forward to? Is there anything like television-wise that's coming up?
Lower Decks has been renewed for a 5th and final.
Are you trying to lead us on to something that is going to be on TV in the near future that we should pay attention to?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm totally clueless because really the last week, the only things I've really been anticipating were the women's final four, which absolutely was just amazing, but also the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale.
Okay, Mike, let's hear your view of the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale.
It was as expected. I thought it'd be really well done, and it was. I had a lot of parallels to the Seinfeld finale with the whole courtroom scene. In case you didn't see the last season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, the overarching story arc was that Larry David was arrested for giving water to somebody in line in Georgia trying to vote. And that's like coercion, possible bribery, you know. Oh, well, you know, if you vote for this person, I'll give you this water. Apparently it's illegal. I don't know if that really is, but that was the big arc for the season. And so the last episode was basically the trial. So you had Larry David and you had Jeff Garland's character and Susie Essman. The whole gang, J.B. Smoove, they all went to Atlanta for the trial, and they called up a series of, not they in terms of the defense attorney, but the prosecution called a bunch of witnesses from not just earlier in the season, but earlier in the series, who Larry David sort of screwed over in some way. And that sort of gave me a feeling about the Seinfeld finale. And also, Jerry Seinfeld plays a big part in this and actually refers to the Seinfeld finale. So a little meta there. But it was just really well written. The ending, I didn't expect that. I don't want to ruin it. I know reruns, by the time you hear this, they're not going to rerun on HBO anymore. But if you have Max, go watch it. Even for a person like me who's only seen Curb Your Enthusiasm for just this 12th and final season, I thought it was really well done. And actually, now I'm starting to delve into previous episodes and previous seasons because, oh gosh, when was this? Maybe about 12 years ago, 14 years ago, there was actually a syndicated, not version, but a syndicated release of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that didn't do a single thing for me. It didn't help that it aired like at 1:35 in the morning here. It aired after Kimmel and it aired after Nightline. So that would be like, yeah, 1:05 or 1:35, whenever. But the thing is, Curb Your Enthusiasm, a lot of the humor is in the stuff that they can air on HBO. So when you take all that out, all of the vulgarities, all the sexual references, all that fun stuff, it's funny, but not as funny as it should be. So, yeah, go watch it on HBO Max. It was a great finale, great season. I'm very glad now that I have HBO and I have my Max, so I can go back and catch up to what I missed the last 20 so years.
And also, you know what's so great about watching all the old episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm? Morty Funkhauser, which was Bob Einstein's character on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, wait, okay. Now, obviously, he's been gone for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Freddy Funkhauser, who's played by Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, Vince is great too on Curb.
So Bob Einstein and Vince Vaughn were brothers on Curb Your Enthusiasm. That is absolutely great. But also, as we've referred to on the podcast, Richard Lewis passed away a number of months ago, and he even had a role in the final episode. So there's a nice little bit of closure there in that regard. But no, so again, what is the big thing that we're supposed to be looking for on TV in the next week or so?
Well, you got me, because I don't know. You know what I heard is coming back for another season this summer?
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
I'm coming back, baby!
That's right, Whammy. You're coming back for another season.
Bigger and better than ever, baby.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see which prizes you're going to steal next season for your big mansion.
Stealing everything.
Stealing all the stuff.
Yep. Nobody's taking a thing home.
You know, they say The Rock is the final boss, but you know what, Whammy? You're the ultimate final boss.
That's right.
Do I smell what the Whammy is cooking? Yeah. It smells like burning. Can you please turn that off?
What is he talking about? I'm making some jambalaya over here.
So yeah, Pressure Luck is definitely coming back. Obviously, it's not coming back in a week or so, but we're going to have, what is this, season 6 this summer? Or 7?
Yeah, season 6 is doubled the season length of the original, even though much less episodes, obviously, but still, 6 seasons.
You know what? I know, you know, it's simplistic to just say, if you build it, they will come, but this was a show whose time apparently had come, and it was the blueprint for how do you do a 30-minute show in an hour? You add a bonus game that is just as enthralling as the main game.
It's very beautifully done. I mean, it is. I know people are going to say it's not perfect because, well, to win the bonus round, you need to get $500,000, and then it gets augmented to $1,000,000, and only one person's come reasonably close within $100,000 of $500,000. You know what? I don't want to say I don't care. It would be nice if somebody hit the big money, but I don't care. The show is so entertaining. And I'm saying this as a person who didn't get into the original show or Whammy. This new version is just so enthralling, so captivating. Is it because of the contestants? Is it because of Elizabeth Banks? Is it because of just some of the wacky ass prizes they have? Is it because of the whole army of whammies they have? It's just absolutely amazing. And I would love to see this in person, but I'm sure I'll be teaching when they start taping the episodes. Plus also, since I just made it public a couple of hours ago, I'm going to be moving to a new school next year, and maybe I should hold on to my money just in case. And also, we may be striking next year, so another reason to maybe hold back my money for a little while.
Oh, well. I wonder if that means... Well, at least the whammy's going to give you some rent. That's the good part.
He said rent.
I want to see rent!
I want to see rent!
That's why I said I want to see rent!
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 Angela!
Angela?
Angela!
And now all together!
Angela!
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 Angela! We will never get that right, and that's part of the charm.
That's part of the joke.
So wait, I was gonna get rent from the whammy, or what was that about? Rent?
No, the whammy lives at your house, Mike. For some reason. I don't know why the whammy lives at your house.
I got divorced from Tammy Wimette.
Oh, I didn't realize, Whammy.
Yeah, and I didn't get a prenup, so I'm really poor. I gotta stay here with Mike.
Maybe you can give Travis Kelce some advice when he signs his prenup.
Sign your name twice to make sure one of the signatures doesn't accidentally disappear. And make sure it's valid in all 50 states. And yes, I checked, there's 50. Not 49, like my bitchy ex-wife made me think there are. You don't have to be smart to be on pressure luck. That's what I'm saying. Enough about that, though. I'm going to go back and sleep on Benoodle's cat bed, because that's where I'm living. I lie on that bed, then she lies on me. That's how I stay warm at night.
Aww.
Oh, now it's a whammy pity story. Okay.
Oh, I thought it was cute. I don't know what pity is you're talking about.
About the fact that he's sleeping in Benoodle's bed and Benoodle's lies on him for warmth. He's in the middle of a cat sandwich. Cat, bed, what's in the middle? Whammy stuffing.
Keep your eye on him.
How about we preview what's coming up this week on It Was a Thing on TV?
Okay.
Oh, if you think this is goofy, well, the episode proper is maybe not too goofy, but oh my gosh. The live show, words escape me. I don't even know how to react to what we're going to do for the live show.
I'll just say, we've been talking about it for the past year. We've been making references to it all year long. And tomorrow night, as we record this, Greg and I are going to pay off on those references.
Wait. Greg and you, what about me?
Oh, you're going to be there too? Awesome.
Give me an invite. I didn't even know you're recording this tomorrow night.
Oh yeah, because we have to get this done before the anniversary, which is coming up. And so, people, let's finally get this out of the bag. Every year, we do something for the Titanic anniversary. It's become a tradition. We did SOS Titanic. We did Tidy, the SNL TV Funhouse skit. And then last year, me and Chico did Titanic 2, which was really, let's be honest, very, very bad. But this year, it's not going to be very bad, and you know why. I got two words for you. Rappin' Dog.
Because in case you don't know, there's a rapping dog on the Titanic.
There's a rapping dog for some reason in 1912 that's wearing a white beater
holding a giant jersey T on it.
a giant T on it. Now, this might be out by the time this comes out. This is the Titanic animated rapping dog movie. I don't even know the exact title of this. I just know it's a Titanic animated movie with the rapping dog. And I guarantee you this is going to be very historically accurate to the Titanic sinking.
Well, exactly. Like I said, there was a rapping dog in the Titanic. This is 100% accurate to the time.
Oh, it's going to be faithfully accurate, and it's going to be treated with respect. It's going to give this tragedy all the respect it deserves. And by respect, I mean none.
Now, quick question. For next year, are we going to do Titanic 666?
Oh, yes. Titanic 666. The horror sequel to Titanic 2.
Oh, also, don't forget, I don't think you mentioned this, but remember we talked about Tidy that one time.
I did mention Tidy.
Okay, well, you know, I'm old and I'm tired and okay.
You're going to be 50 next year, so it's what?
I'm a fossil.
Hey, Whammy, do you have any sick rhymes like the rapping dog?
A sick Whammy rhyme, okay.
I give you the rhyme, which is the way that I'm hitting on women now that I'm divorced.
Yes.
Thank you. Want somebody to answer? Hey there, cutie. Hey there, money. I'm the Whammy. I got lots of money.
Don't quit your day job.
But I got a question. What are we going to be talking about in the regular episode this week?
I said at the end of last week's episode, guess what?
What?
And you said, what? And that's what I was saying. And yeah, I said, we're going to talk about it next week. And you said, what? Well, what's it? Guess what?
What?
Guess what? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about guess what?
What are we talking about?
I said we're going to talk about guess what?
What is the name of the show that we will be discussing?
Listen here, you motherfucker. He said it's called Guess What? Get your heads out of your asses.
Oh, it's called Guess What, Greg?
Oh.
That's what I tried to say the whole time, you son of a bitch.
Well, why did you just say that before?
Apparently, I needed the Whammy as a translator. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Guess What? And if you don't know what that is, maybe it's for the best.
If you don't know what that is, don't worry. Nobody in America does.
Untrue. If you had a pair of rabbit ears like I did back in the day, talking mid-80s, early 80s, you could have picked this up from Canada. And I did. I think I got it out of Channel 42, which I think is out of Windsor in Canada, obviously. I think it's, I want to say CTV, but I could be wrong. Yeah, it was on CTV.
Because it shot out of CFCF and CFTO during its run.
So does just about everything that's ever been done in Canada, minus the New Liars Club, since that was Vancouver. Well, and also Talk About was Vancouver.
And also 15 was Vancouver, at least for the first season. Season 2, it moved to Toronto. Season 3, this time last year, we could talk about where they shot season 3 and season 4. Not a good idea to talk about where they shot season 3 and season 4 now.
Is it because Dan Schneider ruined everything?
Yes. Dan Schneider ruined everything.
Now, I am just loving this at school. My students that I have right now, who are all seniors, so they're 17, 18 years old. So many of them have been dogging on Dan Schneider this week because they just came back from spring break. And since they went to spring break, the whole series on Investigation Discovery about the stuff that went on at Nickelodeon Studios with Dan Schneider has since aired, and it's aired, I think it's on its fourth or fifth episode. But yeah, all my students are talking about it and making jokes about Dan Schneider and his certain proclivities, if you will. But yeah, Dan Schneider, he's the new Mr. Black. And the thing is, I had to tell the kids, I said, you know, at one point, Dan Schneider was actually a respected actor. Oh, no, he wasn't. It's like, no, trust me. Go watch some Head of the Class back in the late 80s, early 90s. He was the dopey fat geek on that show. I didn't pull up any video to corroborate that, but I told him, you know, I'm the old man and I'm the big TV fan. Take my word for it. Dan Schneider used to be something that he's not now.
Let's just say he has a lot in common with Vince McMahon, if you know what I mean.
I didn't know he's 58 years old.
Dan Schneider?
Born January of 66.
Oh.
So he would have been, well, he would have been 20 when that show started, but when they're talking about Head of the Class. But when it ended, he would have been 25. I didn't think he was that old.
So yeah, not everything in Canada tapes in Toronto or Montreal. Some things tape in Vancouver. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Oh, but also I should mention, this is the weekend of that con I told you about. I don't think I'm going to go to it to get Butch Hartman to sign the screenshot from Match Game Hollywood Squares Hour. I'm sorry. I'm not paying like $60 for the autograph and $30 to get in and probably $10 or $20 for parking. No, it's a nice, funny little endeavor. But you know, given that I'm moving to a different school next year and given that we may go on strike, yeah, I don't want to be too foolish with my money.
But I do hope somebody says to him, Butchie!
I hope I can find what hotel they're staying at, because the convention center that this is happening at is right downtown. I mean, literally steps away from probably three or four different hotels. And yes, I would go there and be like, oh, Mr. Herman, you're going to the con today. I got to say one thing to you. Butchie! And he'll be like, you're a friggin' geek. Shut up. That was 40 years ago. I was a kid.
Well, I guess this is gonna end it, I guess.
On that disappointment.
Guess what? Coming Thursday, and by the time you probably hear this, yeah, we're gonna have fun with the rapping dog. And the very historically accurate Titanic animated movie. I don't even know what the hell that movie's called. I just know it's a Titanic animated movie with the rapping dog.
Hey,
so
speaking of rapping dogs, did we mention that Snoop was at Mania with the Philadelphia Eagles?
That's right. I didn't mention that in the first segment. Snoop was at WrestleMania. And apparently, I guess he was smoking some, like, wacky weed backstage with Pat McAfee, according to him on commentary.
What? Snoop Dogg, wait. Snoop Dogg smoking weed?
Yeah.
But after hearing that Pat McAfee joined him, it seems real on brand.
It really does.
It explains so much.
But remember, Mike, Snoop Dogg has a 1-0 WrestleMania record, and it was against The Miz last year at WrestleMania. Remember last year, Chico? Kane McMahon wrestled The Miz at WrestleMania, and he tore his quad, like, legit, and Snoop said, I'm going to step in this match. Because Snoop Dogg's like an entertainer. He's like, you know what? These people want a show. I'm going to give them a show.
Because Snoop Dogg is a real one.
He is a real one. All right. Well, that does it for this. It Was a Thing on TV presents Before the Show. We'll see if that stuff coming down the pike this week. Wow!
Butchie!
Butchie!
Yeah, we'll
see. Butchie!
Butchie! Butchie!
Meanwhile,
but I would argue this,
I would argue not that it was a short incident, but the ramifications that came out of the incident. It threatened to take down our biggest show of all time, but damn it, we're lucky that it didn't.
But that being said, Matthew, let's roll the tape.
What the hell is that?